Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It took me back several years. When we used to do that, you'd first of all hear a guitar scream. Before anything else happens, you just hear... That's how we used to introduce our songs. Praise God. We thank God for this day. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for this day. Welcome to the last day of 2017. Congratulations, you made it.
Amen.
Amen, you made it. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and just say to them, you made it.
Amen.
You made it.
Amen.
It's 31st December 2017. We thank God that you are here. It's a testimony of God's grace and goodness to you that you have found yourself at this time in this place, in this hour. It's a privilege for me to stand before you, and I want to appreciate the leadership of the church, Pastors Walker and Haley Shears, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor William, and the rest of the leadership of the church for giving me this honor to preach God's word. As I sat there, I went back several years, you know, and what I'm going to preach today basically is an exhortation. What that means is that there's information you already have, you already know, so I want to give you an encouragement, an urging, an appeal. That's what an exhortation is. So this service today is an exhortation. God wants to remind you of the things that you already know and consider what you need to deal with as you go forward. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So as I sat there, I thought about many things. And I thought about my own life because I'm talking about reflections of the faith today. Forget and remember. Reflections of the faith, forget and remember. This time 25 years ago, I was preparing to go into Bible school. I had a flat belly. I had an afro. I was very righteous. And I was going out of the country to go to Bible school. I didn't know what to expect. I just obeyed God. I simply obeyed God. I wanted to just follow Jesus. That was my concern. And I went into a new environment, totally new. People were very different from me. And I just had no clue what God was going to do. Now, when I look back 25 years later, I came back from that time. I was single. Then I became unrighteous. I got married. 19 years later, I have three side effects, and my wife is here. Oh, you need to greet the crowd. That's what they do, you know, when you're standing here. Greet the crowd and say hello to them, you know. Amen. Praise God. And so I thought about my life. And God really consolidated what I wanted to share with you in this exhortation. Because God has been faithful, regardless of what you've been through this year. When I left 25 years ago, I was a member of a family of eight. Now, 25 years later, there are only three of us left. There's just myself, my brother, and my sister. It brought tears to my eyes as to how God has been faithful. And I want to remind you today, as you look into God's word, that God indeed is faithful to you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Some of you may have started this past year with many expectations, many hopes, many dreams. You even made resolutions. You said, I'll lose weight. You say, I'll get married, and you're still single. You said, I'll stop beating my wife, and you still do, don't you? And some of you joined a group called Procrastinators, and you haven't met yet. Are you with me? But when you're on the brink of a new year, you're on the brink of a new month, you're on the brink of a new day, even a new hour, one very important and sobering thought is what we find in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 11 says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Just remember that every passing day brings you nearer to your salvation, to the ultimate salvation, to the end. We don't know what 2018 holds, but we do know who holds 2018. Amen. We know who holds 2018. I'm not worried about 2018. As a matter of fact, I'm not one who makes resolutions. What my simple resolution is to follow Jesus. But however, it is important to make plans. You make plans, but those plans must have a preparation that goes with them. And that preparation must be in line with God's purpose. Are you with me? Your preparation must be in line with God's purpose. Because if it's not in line with God's purpose, then it's of no use at all. So as we look to 2018, I want us to reflect a little bit back. Let's reflect a little bit back. You may have struggled in the past seasons. Maybe this past year was really bad for you. Some are rejoicing, but that's what happens in a collection of many people. Some are happy and some are not. Some have great hopes for 2018. They're saying to themselves, this time I'm going to do better. Are you with me? This time it's going to be great. This time I'll get married. That's a big one. This time I'll get married. But you know what I've discovered? When you prepare yourself for God's blessings, then the blessing will surely come. If you don't prepare yourself, God will wait until you're ready. Let me sidetrack a little bit. If you're a young man who is wanting to get married, remember I'm giving you an exhortation. It's not an instruction. It's not a theological treatise. I'll remain true to theology. I'll remain true to the word, but I'm giving you an exhortation. How are you going to get married with the way you stink? Young men. Maybe we'll help you by speaking King James language. Why dost thou stink thus? Get yourself ready for the blessing of God. If you've got such a foul temper, a very explosive personality, who's going to love you? Who's going to be attracted to you? It's the simplicity of life. Are you with me? But that's what I'm talking about. I want us to just reflect. Allow me to say this. If you're going to look at scripture and appreciate what God is doing, and appreciate God's work in your life, and interpret scripture correctly, remember these three things about scripture. Three things. And let's go into Bible school a little bit. The purpose of scripture is threefold. Just threefold. There are many things you'll find in scripture, but threefold. Keep yourself in these three areas of scriptural interpretation and you won't go wrong. The reason why scripture is given to us, number one, is to show us the author of salvation. The author of salvation. Number two is to show us the way of salvation. The way of salvation. Number three is to show us the heirs of salvation. How you receive it. Everything in scripture is centered around these three themes. The author of salvation, the way of salvation, and the heirs of salvation. If you keep yourself within those three, your interpretation will be sound. There's a lot of geology in scripture. There's a lot of philosophy in scripture. There's a lot of poetry in scripture. There's a lot of history in scripture. There's a lot of anthropology in scripture. But the most important thing that you must remember is those three areas. It always brings us back to those three areas. Everything is centered around those three areas. So as we reflect upon our lives, look back at 2017. There are some things you need to forget. And then there are some things you need to remember as you move forward. Are you with me? So 2017 is gone. What happened, happened. What didn't, didn't. For some, the memories has been progress and fulfillment. It has brought delight in your life, progress and fulfillment. But for others, it perhaps has been pain and fiasco, disappointment. Whether it is delight or disappointment, as we reflect back, we have to look in anticipation of God's faithfulness for the future. The Word of God gives us an exhortation on what is most important. So let's look into God's Word and reflect on the faith and then begin to forget and remember. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to use four main passages of Scripture, and in homiletics we teach that you introduce the passages so that you stay within the message that you want to give. So four main passages, and I'll give some other passages of Scripture to support those four. So I want to begin by talking about forgetting. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Philippians 3 verse 13, Paul says this: Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Very simple. He says, you know, I haven't reached where I need to reach. I haven't gotten a hold of what I need to get a hold of. But one thing I do is I forget those things which are behind, and then I reach forward for the things that are ahead of me. So Paul introduces us to a very important concept of how to move forward. And the simple concept is learn to forget. Learn to forget. Now, it's important to learn to forget when you're walking with the Lord, because if you don't learn to forget, there are certain things that will always hold you back. Always. So Paul is not saying to us that he's got a memory loss or is ignorant about the things that have happened to him. He's not talking about memory loss. But what he's saying is that I put my past experience into the proper perspective. I want to use my experiences to help me propel myself forward. One of the worst things you can do to yourself is live in regret. Are you with me? You are constantly in regret. That guy, what he did to me. I am telling you, I shall never forget. You are harming yourself. Do you know that in a place like this, you can be disappointed by people who are very spiritual? There are people whom you look up to and expect better things from, but they can disappoint you. Welcome to the club. It's about being human. So you're not to dwell and feed that regret. You feed on it. When you wake up in the morning, you pick it up from the side table and feed on it. Ah, what happened to me? How could he do that? How could she? She even refused me. The past has passed. Can I hear an amen? The past has passed. But Paul is saying his thoughts continually dwell upon what can happen in the future. Ceasing to let things affect you. Constantly affect you. There are some people who have had bad experiences 20 years ago, and to this day, they are being affected by them. Paul is saying, one thing I do, I forget the things in the past and look forward to the future. Now, there are three things that we need to do in forgetting so that it will help us be free to move forward. Why is it important for us to forget? Forget. Because if you are stuck in regret, it feeds on itself, and then it breeds worry, because you're constantly worried. You let yourself worry. You even get ulcers. And like somebody said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you a lot of work, but it takes you nowhere. You're constantly rocking in that worry. Worry doesn't change anything. Now, let me suggest to you why you should forget. I'm not belittling the experience. I'm not even making it look like it didn't matter. I'm not even making it look like it was a small thing. But it is a good thing for you to do yourself a favor by forgetting. Are you with me? The first reason why you should learn to forget is that you free yourself from being captivated by failure. You are captivated by failure in your life. One good example is Elijah. Elijah, in his failing to have faith to stand against the woman Jezebel, he ran away and he sat under a tree and said, "God, kill me." Somebody said he didn't realize that God is not a murderer. And God, instead of, basically you'd expect God to say, "Oh, sorry, Elijah, sorry, it's been really bad, you know. I mean, that woman is terrible. That woman is terrible." God says, "Get up and eat." He was hungry. And so you can be captivated because of not forgetting. You can be captivated by failure. How many of you have failed before? And some things you regret you failed. I think all of us would put our hands up, and those who wouldn't are hypocrites. That is the first and most important thing you must remember. Forget, because you will free yourself from being captivated by failure. The second thing about forgetting, and I see this in Scripture, is that you are freeing yourself from being incapacitated by fatigue. Fatigue. You get tired. You even get tired of trying. How many of you have been really tired? That I've really tried, but I'm tired. How many of you have been tired? How many of you have been tired of even praying? Are you with me? You made the confession. You did the gymnastics. You did everything. And when we were kids, I mean, we used to fast more than we do now. I think we're backslidden, some of us. It even shows. But, you know, we would fast and fast and fast because we were hungry for God and wanting Him to do certain things. And then God would let us know that it is Him who leads us into triumph. It's not a mechanical sort of formula that you use with God. You are led by the Spirit. You are led, and then you know and experience His victory because you've been led. If there's something we need to know how to do well, is to be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Even in your fasting, be led by the Spirit. Because fasting is not twisting God's arm. It's being led into His victory. So, when you learn to forget, forget so that you're not fatigued. You're not fatigued. You're tired. You've had a bad year, so you're tired. God wants to rejuvenate your strength, bring you back into faith, bring you back into belief, renew, restore, rejuvenate, revive, putting you in a place where you can smile again. And for some of you, you can love again. You can. You can love again. Despite the disappointment, you can love again. And so the third thing that you need to remember, so that you are freer, is you are not paralyzed by fear. Learning to forget helps you not to be paralyzed by fear. When you've had a bad experience, what it does to you is that it affects your faith in believing God to move forward. Is that not right? It affects your faith. So you are paralyzed because you're constantly in that mode of looking back and looking back, not forgetting. And therefore you are paralyzed by fear. What are you encouraged to forget? Let me suggest to you some things. The pain of loss, forget it. The pain of regret, forget it. The pain of discouragement, forget it. Amen? Forget it. Your pain should not prioritize your present, because if you let your pain, you muse over your pain, you allow it to fester in your heart and in your mind, it's a preoccupation. What happens is that it begins to prioritize your life now. You get up, it's with you. You meet people, it's with you. When you see people laughing, you wonder, why are they laughing? Life is very tough. Why are you laughing? And then you know those type that laugh anyhow. So your pain must not prioritize your present. Your pain also must not predict your future. Just because you're in pain now, it doesn't mean it's going to be bad tomorrow. It shouldn't predict your future. Your pain should not provide your answers. Very important. That pain that you have must not provide answers to you. Because you're in pain, therefore, it's this. No, it's not. No, it's not. Hallelujah. No, it's not. You can come out of your pain. You can come out of that condition and be able to see life in a bright and glorious new way. Suddenly it's like new dawn. The break of a new day. His mercies are new. Every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And the Bible talks about newness all the time because you need it. You need it. You need to learn to forget. Your pain should not pronounce your purpose. It shouldn't pronounce your purpose. I am in pain, therefore my purpose in life is this pain. It's not about me, but the best way I can tell you is about my own testimony. There are some things you don't really understand, you know. You don't. You just don't. If you do, you're lying. You lie, brother. There are some things that are difficult to understand. There are some things that perhaps you won't even have answers for. So it is okay. So just chill, relax. You'll get to know when you get to heaven. It's okay. Are you with me? You will get to know when you get there. So just relax. And some things you don't understand because God wants to reveal them at a later time. Amen? At a later time. When I was single and righteous, I used to seek God. I was serious about everything. Serious about the person I should marry. I fasted. And I got into a relationship. And then it didn't work. Those single men, listen to me carefully. It didn't work. And I went back to God and I wondered, all that fasting. All that fasting, that praying, that believing, that confessing, all that Bible, you know, you even read the Bible faithfully in the morning to make sure that you don't step out of line. And it didn't work. And I went back to God, but boss nishani. And God just kept quiet. I said, say something. He's quiet. How many of you have been there? It's quiet. Huh? And you see, I didn't realize that in the process of time, you see, trusting God means that you trust Him even when you don't know. Are you with me? Let me try this side because I'm telling you I'm speaking truth here. Trusting God means that you can trust Him even when you don't know. That's what trust is about. So, when time came for me to understand, and I'm giving you this testimony because it might help somebody. When I came to an understanding that I could rest in God and wait upon Him, and He has my best interests at heart. He has my future in His hands. In the back of my mind, there was lingering a feeling of disappointment. Are you following me? But then when the kachik came along,
When I looked,
I thought, this is another. This is another kind. This is another kind. No, let me stop there. So one important factor about forgetting is this. Do not perceive God from the lens of your own life experiences. Don't perceive God from the lens of your own life experiences. Your family, your background, your tradition, your culture. Don't look and perceive God from that lens. You know why? You may discover that the God you are worshiping is different from the one in the Bible. Did you get that? I'll say that again. If you look at God from the lens of your own experience, from your own culture, from your own tradition, from your own experiences in life, if you look at God from that lens, you may discover that the God you're worshiping is different from the one in the Bible. And I want us to come back into the Word and appreciate God from the Word. And we'll appreciate how He leads us in this life. You see, being long in a particular condition shouldn't allow you to succumb to it and resign to the fact that that's the way life is. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. Isaiah 43. We must learn to forget. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19 says, "Do not remember the former things." In other words, forget. "No, consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." I will do a new thing. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God was speaking to the Israelites. They had been in bondage over a period of time, and God was telling them, forget about that. Forget about your experiences. There's something new that I'm introducing to you. They were in captivity for a very long time. And God says, forget that. Begin to look forward. The failure, the fatigue, and the fear must give way to something new. Hallelujah. It must give way to something new. So as you're thinking about resolutions this coming year, the best resolution is that I will follow Jesus, I will obey, I will do what needs to be done according to God's will and purpose and leading. Amen? That's the best resolution. Because you will disappoint yourself when you say, I will do this, and then you fail to do it. I will lose weight, and then you don't. Especially this season when you're eating a lot. That is about forgetting. Forget the past. Now let's move on to remembering. What does the Bible say about remembering? Forget the past. Forget the failure. Forget the fatigue. Forget the fear. The pain. But now you must do a positive thing, a conscious decision to remember certain things. Look at Jude chapter, in fact, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude 17. Once again, Jude is giving an exhortation. Like I said, it's not an instruction, it's an exhortation. You have already known the truth. You've heard things. You've been instructed in theology. You've been instructed in the way to live, the way to understand God's word. Now he's giving an exhortation. I'm giving you an urging, an encouragement. I'm giving you an appeal. That's what Jude is saying. Jude 17 to 21. Remember, Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. And he introduces himself as a servant of Jesus. So he says, the truth you already know. You've heard it. Throughout the year, you've heard the truth. Now he wants to give you an appeal. So this is what he says. But you, beloved, verse 17, remember, everybody say remember. Remember. Yes. Remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19 says, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he exhorts them, I urge you, I encourage you, I admonish you, remember this. And it's the second last book of the Bible. So last words are very important. And there are three things, again, that we must do for remembering. Three things. So the Bible here tells us, remember. So to replace the failure, to replace the fatigue, to replace the fear, the experiences that have been bad, your faith has been violated, you no longer trust very easily. I remember a great testimony, and it's wonderful how the Spirit of God speaks in simplicity. And my wife will remember this testimony. In just speaking like this, speaking and talking. Among us here was a young person who said in their hearts, I'm going to attend a service one more time and then I'll go and kill myself. I'll attend the service just one more time and then I'm going to kill myself. Life is not worth living anymore. I'm disappointed. Now in talking, don't give up. God spoke more directly to her than anybody else, I believe. And she confessed how that she wanted to just give up on life. So if there's among us here, somebody, don't kill yourself. Are you with me? Don't kill yourself. You can love again. Come on, say amen to that. You can. And I've said to myself, there ain't no way I'm going to kill myself for somebody else. I kill myself because of somebody. Only one person died for us. Are you following me? So I'm disappointed with this person. So I injure myself. Why would I do that? It's better I injure him. So now, what God is saying to us, we must remember. Remember this. Remember this. The passage of Scripture, let's break it down. It's an exhortation, so let's break down that passage. Jude is saying, you, beloved, he's talking to you. You who are believers. But for you, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three things that he says here. Build yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You'll have no failure. So the first and the most important thing that you need to do in order to remember is get connected. Get conviction, rather. Get conviction. Build yourself on your most holy faith. Get conviction. Be convinced about the truth of God's faithfulness. Be convinced about the truth of God's watching over your life. Have a conviction that is born out of the word, not born out of your experience. Because your experiences fluctuate. Even your waking up in the morning fluctuates. One day you are happy, the next day you're not. Get a conviction. Build yourself on a most holy faith. Don't adulterate the word. Don't adulterate God's relationship with you. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't live one foot in the enemy's camp and another in church, in God's camp. You are violating your own life. Are you with me? Is it shocking how that we play with the devil, and the devil doesn't play with us? He means business. He means business. So let's get a conviction. Build ourselves in the most holy faith. Get a conviction. Pray in the Holy Ghost. and you will not fail. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost, you will not fail. When you don't know how to pray, pray. If you want to learn to pray, pray. After you prayed, pray. And if you don't know how to pray, talk to God. So Jude is saying, build yourself. Remember this, build yourself. Get a conviction. The second thing is, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Get connected to the love of God. Get connected. You won't be fatigued. You are connected to God. And you know, here's a great measure of whether you are keeping yourself in the love of God. And let me just, for those of you who are single, you might need to shut your ears. But the married people, if you can't be kind to the person closest to you, you're not in the love of God. You're not. If you can't be kind to the person closest to you, who even knows your hiccups, or knows your funny habits. We don't know you snore, but they do. We don't know that you grind your teeth, but they do. I remember my Bible college roommate. We had a system in Bible college where you change roommates every term. The reason was that you needed to know how to relate to different people, different personalities. It was just deliberate. This semester or this term you have this roommate, the next term you have another roommate, the other term just different people. So I had this roommate. I learned the love of God. He, very nice guy, very spiritual guy, loves God. I mean, tremendous guy, very sincere. You know, there are some who are not, eh? Even in Bible school, is that not right? Mm-hmm. But this guy, but he had one major weakness that taught me the love of God. He used to snore like a combine harvester. He would snore. I couldn't understand how sound could come out of a person like that. And the whole term I would be awake. Can you imagine how I suffered? He would start, and then he used to switch off very easily. Yeah. I would take a long time, you know, I would be counting sheep. The sheep would start fighting, you know, I'm watching before I get to sleep. He would just, he says, hey, Andrew, we've had a long day. I said, yeah. Yeah, let's get some sleep. We've got a full day tomorrow. And I'd say, yeah, sure. He says, all right, good night. He's off. When he goes off, he would start. I'm not joking. He would shift gears. Frrrt. I'm not exaggerating. Then in the middle of that, you'd shift and go. He was very apologetic because he knew I was warned by those who had been his roommates before. So he would apologize and say, no, you know, I've got sinuses, issues, this and that, you know. He would snore. And I'm wide awake, you know. I'm listening to this music. And in the midst of it, he would go into a gear. He would take a deep breath. And then he would hold his breath. Hold his breath. So now I'm worried, you know. I'm thinking, he's killing himself, you know. So I would get out of my bed sheets, you know, and I would rush to his side, you know. Just before I reach there, he goes,
And then I would hold my head, you know, thinking.
But we learn to love each other. You see, people are imperfect. Are you with me? People are imperfect. We will only get perfect when we get to heaven. Right now, it's an imperfect world. We are being sanctified. We are being changed daily. If you can't love the person, you don't have the love of God. That's why the Bible says you can't say you hate your brother and say you love, you can't say you love God and hate your brother. Then you don't love God. It's as simple as that. That's the second thing. The third thing is you get confidence. The Bible says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. No more fear. Because you're looking for that. No more fear. You get confidence. Not only do you get a conviction, not only do you get connected to the love of God, you also get confidence when you remember. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more fear. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. This is a very wonderful passage of scripture about remembering. Very short. It says this. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Not only are you to remember the words that were spoken, but remember the person of Jesus. Remember the person. The words are important, but then you have a relationship with the person. Remember, and look at the wording there. You can miss it if you're not carefully looking at it. It says, remember that Jesus Christ. There may be other Jesuses, but that Jesus. Which one? The one of the seed of David. Which one? The one that was raised from the dead. The reason why Paul is saying this to Timothy about remembering that Jesus, because it is that Jesus who has the victory. It is that Jesus who raised from the dead. He dealt with the greatest enemy of humankind, death. The impossible enemy was dealt with by that Jesus. Now, if that Jesus had dealt with the biggest enemy, can he not solve your problem? Are you with me? Can he not solve your problem? Because he dealt with the biggest. That is why the Bible says, he who spared not his son, will he not with him give you all things? Since he gave you the best, everything else is second best. The value of everything else is much less than the value of the son that he gave. So the one who puts an end to evil is that Jesus. The one who puts you into a better life is that Jesus. The one who cannot fail you is that Jesus. He cannot fail you. The one who is the beginning and the end is that Jesus. And that's the Jesus you must remember. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, the one who was raised from the dead according to my gospel, according to this word that you live by. It's that same Jesus who is with you today, who was with you in 2017 and will be with you in 2018. And you can have confidence in that Jesus. If you look throughout the whole Bible, he's there. Remember I said the three things in the Bible is what? The author of salvation, the way of salvation, and the heirs of salvation. Keep it there. Keep it there. You will see Jesus everywhere. Keep it there. Matthew, he is the king, isn't he? Matthew is the king. In Mark, he's a servant. In Luke, he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And in John, he is the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he is your rock. Remember him. He is the triumphant victory of your salvation. In Galatians, he's your liberty. The one who frees you from the demands of the law. The one who sets you free from being confined to the law and its penalties. And in Ephesians, he's the head of the church right here. He's the head. It's his joint. This is his outfit. Are you with me? And in Philippians, he is your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He is your joy. When you remember him, he just exchanges that sorrow with you. Are you with me? Are you with me? And in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he is your hope. He is your hope. And in Timothy, he is your faith. 2nd Timothy is your stability. Gives you stability in life. You're not shaken. And in Titus, he is your truth. You can't be lied to. And in Philemon, he is your benefactor. Benefactor. Are you with me? And then he in Hebrews, he's your perfection. You are not perfect, but he is your perfection. He exchanges your imperfection with his perfection. And in James, he is the power behind your faith. Hallelujah. He gives you faith to believe. Go to him and say, God, I'm weak in my faith. He gives you faith to believe. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. And in 1 John, he is your life. 2 John is your pattern, your example. You follow him. And in 3 John, he is your motivation. He motivates you. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I like what he did, the dance, you know. I almost, just that the bones are a little bit. He's your motivation. Keep going. Keep going. And in Jude, this is what he is, your foundation of faith. When you reflect upon your life, he's your foundation of faith. And in Revelation, he is your soon coming king. He is your soon coming king. The one you will bow and say, yes, sir. He's the beginning and he is the end. So as we reflect on the past year, we reflect on your faith in the past year. Learn to do two important things. Learn to forget. Learn to remember. Amen. Forget the failure. Forget the fatigue. Forget the fear. But have a conviction. Get yourself connected and get confidence back again. And then finally, brethren, I want us to look at these passages of scripture as we look at finally 2017 is over. Finally, beloved. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God and so on and so forth. But finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on what? On these things. What is pure? What is good? What is lovely? What is of good report? Meditate on these things. Keep your mind in that. Forget the failure. Forget the fatigue and the fear. Meditate on these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge you. Again, he's saying we exhort in the Lord. Another exhortation. We exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Just as you received from us how you should walk and to please God. How you should walk and to please God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. Finally, All of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. We're being exalted, beloved. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Finally, brethren, this is the exhortation, that you think well, that you walk well, and that you love well. If 2018 is going to make any difference, think well, walk well, and love well. Whenever there's a finally in Scripture, it is an indication that an exhortation is coming. That after I've taught all these things, remember this. I urge you to do this. I admonish you to do this. I encourage you to do this. Finally, brethren, we must forget and we must remember. Tell your neighbor, forget. Even what I did to you. It's very meaningful to husband and wife. Even what I did to you, forget. Forget. In fact, perhaps I could add, forget and forgive. Amen. Make a conscious decision. I forgive. I forgive. Sometimes it's good to say it. Say it with me. I forgive. Say it again. I forgive. Yeah. It frees you. And then, not only should you just forget, do a positive thing by remembering. Remember the words that have been spoken throughout this year. The instructions that God gave, remember. And also, in order for your relationship to move forward and be consolidated and strong, remember that Jesus, who can't fail you, who is always with you. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. As we come to the last day of 2017, that's the exhortation God wants you to know. Just forget and remember. Let's bow our heads. And I want us to remind ourselves with a song. This song is a good reminder. And it's a good song to forget certain things. Forget and remember. And I want us to join the worship team as we sing this song. Tell yourself, this is who you are. And allow the Spirit of God to just bring a healing. Perhaps for some of you who've had a very bad year. You've had bereavement, just like I have. You've had disappointments. You don't need to even tell us what it is. But I want you to sing this song and let the Spirit of God, who knows you better than anybody else does here, to just touch your heart and to give you a confidence that is renewed for the coming year. He's the one who holds your life. Don't worry about dying. Don't worry about failing. Don't worry about fear and everything. He's the one who holds your life. He's the one who's making the difference for you in 2018. And it shall be well. Because you trust in Him. So let's sing this song and allow the Spirit of God to just help us be reminded and be renewed. And then we'll invite those who need prayer to pray. But let's worship God with this song.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies.
Yes, hallelujah.
Till all my fears are gone.
Sing, I'm no longer.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
I am a child of God.
Sing, I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. From my mother's womb.
Yes, you have been faithful.
You have chosen me.
Come on, saints, sing it. Sing it with us.
And I am surrounded.
Come on, saints, let's worship Him. He is good to you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. He can calm even all your doubts and all your fears. It is that same Jesus. He's never failed you, and He never will. He never will. He never will. Why don't you honor Him with your faith? Honor Him with your trust. Honor Him with your trust. We want to give an opportunity for those of you who do not know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You can end the year right. You can end the year right. God brought you here for such a time as this. We don't know what 2018 holds, but we do know who holds it. And you can put yourself in His loving arms, and your life will never be the same again. You may be young, you may be old, but your life is not in your hands. It's in the hands of the one who gave it to you. So if there's one among us here, you're not so sure where you'd be if you had died this past year. But I can tell you, you will be sure where you will be when you give your life to the Lord. Is there someone among us? Just raise your hand. Don't let this moment pass you by. And we want to pray with you. It's not an accident that you came into the house of God today. Raise it high enough for me to see. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Is there someone? Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? This is your greatest moment. Thank you for another hand there. This is your greatest moment of transformation. What a good way. Another hand there. Thank you. What a good way to end 2017. Those of you who have raised your hands, give us the privilege to come and lead you to the Lord right here in front. Please make your way. We did this many years ago. A lot of us have done this before. It's not to embarrass you. It's just for you to take a step of faith and say to yourself, I am moving from my old life. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Sing it in the background, will you, Morphia, please?
You split the sea so
we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Come, come, come. This is your moment.
So
we're waiting for you. What a joyful day this is. What a joyful day this is. What a joyful day this is. You will be able to sing this song with confidence that you're a child of God. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done in life. The Bible says, when you give your life to the Lord, all things become new. The old is passed away. Everything becomes new. Do you have a memory of the past? Yes, you do. But when you give your life to the Lord, it's all forgiven. Every bit of it. The Bible says you become white as snow. And you can confidently enter the new year and say, I'm a child of God. So I want you to just raise your right hand before God. You're not joining a church. It's not even important to join a church. It's more important to join the family of God. So I want to lead you in a prayer. You're not praying to the church, you're praying to God. And if you sincerely pray from your heart, God is hearing you. And He's the one who actually convicted you to come forward. So, saints, let's join them in prayer. Let's pray for them. And let's join them in prayer, because we are receiving new members of the family of God. So close your eyes and look to the Lord and say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking to me. And today, I have heard your word and I respond to it. Thank you that Jesus died for me and He rose again. And in my heart, I believe, and with my mouth, I confess, Jesus is Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all my sins. And today, I give you my life. And thank you that right now, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am saved. I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.